Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Our thanks to Adams Road Band for that musical introduction. Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. We are continuing to look at the transcript of a Q&A session that took place in November of 2010 when two Mormon historians, Richard E. Turley Jr. and Marlon K. Jensen, were sent by the LDS Church to try and answer questions of a historical nature to members in the Swedish church that were having some difficulties with what they were finding on the internet regarding Mormon history and how that history had been taught to them as members of the church. At this point in the dialogue, Hans Mattson, and again, we have to mention, if you're not familiar with what we've been talking about for the last several weeks, Hans Mattson has kind of spearheaded this whole thing. He was an Area 70 in the Mormon church. He was having people come up to him and asking him questions about history that was confusing them because they were finding things on the internet that certainly didn't square with the way that history was being taught to them as members of the church. And so in this Q&A session, they're discussing a number of topics. And now it's going to switch to the Mountain Meadows Massacre that took place in 1857, September 11th, 1857. Hans Mattson is asking this particular question. I'm going to paraphrase because the English is a little bit broken there. But he does ask about Brigham Young and hiding information, and he mentioned specifically the Mountain Meadows. He says they did everything they could to hide evidence of things about the massacre that happened. And he says, and what about the church excommunicating lots of people, including professors at Brigham Young University and people like Fawn McKay Brody, who wrote a book, No Man Knows My History. That book actually got Fawn McKay Brody kicked out of the church. And then he makes a comparison. Talking about Brody, he says, well, she writes the same that Bushman, speaking of Mormon author and historian Richard L. Bushman, she writes the same that Bushman writes, and she gets kicked out of heaven, because basically if you get kicked out of the Mormon church, you're kicked out of the celestial kingdom. There's no way you're going to make it into the celestial kingdom. Now, Turley doesn't answer that question. I thought he probably could have answered it very quickly and maybe even given some kudos to the current leadership in the church and saying something, for instance, well, that just shows that we have more transparency now and more tolerance now for information coming out from Mormon scholars than maybe the church had in the past. Now, of course, that's not going to make the church leaders of the past look very good, but they don't look very good. That's the fact, okay? But then Turley is going to ignore that answer, and he's going to focus on the Mountain Meadows Massacre. What does he say?
On the Mountain Meadows Massacre, I'm writing a book now. It'll be published by Oxford University on the period after the massacre that will answer that question.
Now, you and I have looked for this book. I don't know if it's under our nose and we've just missed it, but I don't know what book he is talking about.
Or maybe it's just not published, but this was 2010.
And this is 2013 right now, so this book that he's mentioning, I guess, is supposed to have all the answers, but we don't know what book he's referring to. And then he says, on the question of people excommunicated, and Hans interrupts and says, so they didn't hide it, speaking of the Mountain Meadows Massacre.
And then he says, pardon?
And Hans says, they didn't hide it? Did the church hide it? In other words, the information about the massacre.
And so he responds by saying, did the church hide it? At the time, short answer, you need to read the book for the long answer.
And then again, Mattson says, yeah, but they did hide it. They did.
And then he says, the short answer is that at the time of the Mountain Meadows Massacre, when Brigham Young found out about it, the U.S. Army was on the door of Salt Lake City getting ready to come in and basically massacre his people. That was Brigham Young's feeling, okay? So the Mountain Meadows Massacre was the last thing he wanted to talk about under those circumstances.
But those circumstances were over rather quickly after 1857 when the Mountain Meadows Massacre took place. The Mormon Church was denying the facts about the Mountain Meadows Massacre for several years after that. So I think that Hans Mattson's question is very valid. They were hiding it, not just at the time it took place, but for years and years after it took place. In fact, it took about 20 years before John D. Lee would actually be executed as the only scapegoat for the Mountain Meadows Massacre, and he certainly was not the only one involved.
And that took place in 1877.
Okay, so we need to go back to this Mountain Meadows thing really quickly, though, because I think that a lot of this has been missed on a lot of folks that have tried to study this. Turley was one of the authors that was involved in a book produced by the Oxford Press. Ronald W. Walker, Richard E. Turley, and Glenn Leonard, three Mormon historians, were involved in this book. And I've often said it's probably the most expensive Mormon book to be produced in modern times.
I think we need to point out that this book was out in 2008, so it was available for him to refer to. Turley could have referred Mattson in 2010 when he's talking to him.
So I guess we're assuming that Turley had found some new information after the book was finally given to the publisher. I don't know. But still, we don't know what book he's really referring to in this Q&A session. But I think what really bothered me in reading this book, and this was supposed to be the book that was going to answer all the questions. Everybody was waiting with bated breath to finally get a hold of this book, which finally came out under the title of Massacre at Mountain Meadows, published by Oxford. And so I'm going through this book, and I'm wanting to know, what is the terrible pun, but what is the smoking gun when it comes to why this massacre took place? The answer, I think, is found between pages 132 and 135. Basically, folks, what it boils down to is when the immigrants were going through Cedar City, they were there for only about an hour. This is what it says on page 132. The members of the Arkansas Company reached Cedar City around noon on Thursday, September 3rd, staying only, quote, a little over 1 hour. While they were there, they were waiting for some grain to be ground at a mill, and some immigrant men sampled the Mormon sagebrush whiskey sold at the nearby distillery. Getting a little more of this than they should, one settler said they talked very freely. And what commences after that is some comments are being made to the local women folk, and also some other things were said that were certainly not very nice. There's no doubt about that. But it says on page 134 that some men in Cedar City, like men elsewhere in America, followed a code of honor that required anyone who insulted a wife, mother, or sister to apologize or be punished. Apparently, also, one of the immigrants was upset because the locals were not selling any of their goods to this group in the wagon train before they were going to be crossing the desert into California. It says on page 132, as the immigrants were leaving town, one reportedly said that if, quote, old Brigham and his priests would not sell their provisions, by God, they would take what they wanted any way they could get it. With that, he, quote, killed two chickens and threw them into his wagon, end quote. So as a result of two chickens being killed, if some bad language being used, and it sounded like there was also someone who had been intoxicated from maybe the sagebrush whiskey. After the Arkansas Company leaves town on page 135, Cedar City leaders discussed what to do. As often happens in times of conflict, they focused not on the peaceful immigrants who made up the vast majority of the company, but on a minority whose actions colored their view of the whole. From the Cedar City leaders' point of view, outsiders had defied the law, faced them down in front of their own people, and resisted arrest. They had threatened townspeople, mocked the values of the community, and announced themselves ready to support the army that seemed at southern Utah's doors. The men of the train would not live to tell their side of the story. but the fact that not one Utah citizen was physically harmed by the Arkansas company speaks for itself. Any menacing words from the immigrants were probably just idle threats and boasts made out of frustration and in the heat of the moment, but in the charged environment of 1857, Cedar City's leaders took the men at their word. And I'm sorry, Eric, but that seems to be the reason for the Mountain Meadows Massacre. Do you believe that?
Yeah.
I don't buy that for a second.
Yeah.
But remember, this is the same Richard Turley who is speaking to this group of Swedish members who had a hand in writing this book. This is supposed to answer our questions. No wonder the church hid the information. Well, no wonder the church lied about this for so many years. There was not a good reason for this massacre, that's for sure.
Well, and he almost makes it sound like, well, because the government was supposedly going to come in and massacre the people, Brigham Young, therefore, was going to kill these people. And, I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. His answer is not going to be, it's not going to be satisfactory to anybody.
No, I don't think so. And I've often said, you have a very difficult time convincing me that a group of very religious Mormons, very devout Mormons, would decide to kill over 120 immigrants, men, women, and children, based on the orders of a stake president, who at this time would have been Isaac Haight. I just don't believe that. Isaac Haight did not have the power to protect those that were involved in the Mountain Meadows Massacre. It would take someone higher up who could protect them in case the law started coming down on them. And there was only one man who could do that. That was Brigham Young.
Yep.
And you know what? He did protect them for almost two decades. He protected them. And only one person actually faced execution for that crime, John D. Lee.
Well, we do have more information on the Mountain Meadows Massacre. We did a two-part series back in September of 2012. So if you go in our archives on mrm.org on the right-hand side, go to archives September 10th and 11th of 2012 if you want to learn more about this issue.
Again, I don't think that Robert Turley's answer was all that satisfactory when he says, so the Mountain Meadows Massacre was the last thing that Brigham Young wanted to talk about under the circumstances of the U.S. Army being at their door. But folks, again, they didn't talk about that for a long time after that. So I don't think that was a very good answer. But then what does he say next? Okay, let's move on.
We've heard that before.
We've heard that more than once in this Q&A session. So now they're going to move on and talk about something else. And we're going to look at that tomorrow.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. You just listened to today's broadcast of Viewpoint on Mormonism. But did you know that you can hear previous shows at your convenience? The Viewpoint on Mormonism podcast is free on the internet and will help you learn more about the LDS religion. Feel free to listen on your computer or download to your favorite listening device. Just go to mrm.org and click on the right side where it says On Air. All of our shows are here, so visit mrm.org today. If the LDS Church is not true, which church is? Didn't the Bible predict the apostasy of the Christian faith? These and 34 other questions often posed by Latter-day Saints are addressed in Kriegel Publishers' new book, Answering Mormons' Questions, written by MRM's Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson. Included is a glossary of Mormon terms and questions for group discussions. This is a great resource for those who want to share their Christian faith. Answering Mormons' Questions is available at the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore or at mrm.org.